I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From Rose podcast. It has been fun. I've had some special guests, and I want y'all to continue to listen. Send your feedback, send your questions, and I'll continue to answer on the air. I have an intern in my office, and I had her to talk, give me some direction, talk about some things that young people want to hear. And so I'm going to kind of smooth in and wiggle around talking about the next generation. And I think one of the big things for me is being a young person is why I'm in office today. When I first ran, it was because I didn't feel like young people had seats at the table and didn't feel the administration really wanted to preserve things for the youth to do. And youth doesn't mean like under 18. It, you know, nightlife, making sure you have a good, safe, enjoyable nightlife is young people. You know, they technically classify young in that 14 to 24 years old area. So, you know, do you have a place to go and vibe with young people? As a matter of fact, I just had a meeting. Shout out to Deeply Coffee, great coffee here in downtown. And I was meeting with someone and they said, yeah, this is the, I said, it's a young people hangout. So making sure that we have a place and we have a space is really important. And I think a time, you know, think back to was a time that my voice and the things that I've said made an impact on young people. So for those that don't know, I spend a lot of time in our neighborhood centers. We have a teen center in the downtown rec center in the Paramore community. And I spend time just kind of getting to know what I can do more of. Where can I go and invest? Who can I ask to come and bring our kids at the table? And, you know, shout out to Orlando Magic for being a true opportunity for our young people, from providing tickets to renovating spaces in our community and really providing the opportunity for growth here. I think sometimes it's just having someone, and for me, I take it to heart, like continuing to be a role model for young people is what's really important, from knowing how to carry myself to, you know, knowing to stand up, knowing when's the right time to stand up. Some advice that I want our young people to really, really understand, and you know, we're in this weird space. I want you all to understand that your life is valuable. Your purpose is greater than what's happening right now. And as the commissioner, I'm here to walk alongside and connect with you all with the resources, the mentorship, and just the real support. Here to be your sounding board. For those that haven't, you should sign up. We have District 5 does have a youth advisory board, so we can really hear from you all about the direction of District 5, what more we could be doing. So sign up for that. There's a, you know, this is a weird trend that's, I wish would go away. And to me, it's the clicks and the groups that kind of, and, you know, I got, it's a strong word, but they just dislike each other. The past couple of weeks, I've seen several massive fights, and I've heard about a few. Actually, I was doing a filming at the Jackson Center recently, and I had one of the high schoolers come up and say, hey, there was a big fight around the corner. And it's like, I wish we could, like, forever stop fighting, that our words do not escalate to physical interaction, where we could talk about it and we could yell and scream about whatever our differences are, but understand that no two people think alike. I think we've got to do better. And that's something that I'm really honing in on our young girls. Like I said, I'd really love to see the physical fighting and putting guns down. And let's, you know, figure out what the root cause is of whatever the disagreement. Because your adolescence, this is the beginning of the future, right? And the older you get, fighting someone outside in the parking lot because you had a disagreement or even pulling the trigger is not the way we should be going. We are better than this as a people and as a culture. And young people, you are the future, so got to keep you around. If someone were to follow me, and as I said, I'm kind of going through a couple of questions that my intern wrote. And one of the questions were, what is a typical day? I don't think a typical day is, there's a such thing as that. For example, I can go from a press conference to a speaking engagement or even here in the studio, you know, recording podcasts. But every day I wake up trying to create a better quality of life for the District 5 residents and businesses, as well as our visitors, enhancing the experience. You know, Orlando is one of the finalists and qualifiers for the 2028 Olympics. And, you know, when we sit down and talk about what that looks like, I think that's probably my typical day. Like the questions and the conversations that I have that may take months, sometimes may take years to make it to mainstream. That's really the life of the commissioner, where somebody might say, well, I went in your office, you weren't there. Yeah, but did you check my calendar and check my schedule and saw how many things I had to attend or what's the part of the role? You know, sometimes I'll use an example. So right now we've entered the bid for the 2029, 2030, potentially one or the other of NBA All-Star. And so like I'll use that as just a place to put a pin in. When I first got elected in 2024, I said, we got to bring NBA All-Star here. Like, what does it take and what does that look like? And staff, because it's not necessarily city staff, it takes a lot of other entities. We have a lot of great community partners, from Greater Orlando Sports Commission to Visit Orlando, our city, all of the city, the county, you know, it takes resources to bring some things. And so I was like, well, when they came here in 2012, they promised us that they'd come back in 10 years. You know, are we there yet? And Jason Siegel from Greater Orlando, he's like, Commissioner, that's what you want? I said, yes. I was like, when we talk legacy things, you know, Orlando has become a major sports city. Why not now? You know, what are we waiting on? And so he said, okay, let's start networking. Let's figure that out. And so imagine we're in 2026 and the community is just finding out, like, we finally put the bid in. But it's sometimes some of these massive things take time and they take continual conversation because they may need financial commitment or it has to be a bidding time. So for example, NBA as well as NFL, they do 3 years at a time. Some things are 4 years at a time of exactly who's going to do what and who's going to be in charge of. And so when we learned that the next set of bidding was coming up, I was like, let's jump on it. Let's go for it. Because, you know, we continue to bring sports teams. You know, we have two football leagues here now. We have an indoor football league and we have a United Football League. We have the Orlando Storm, who starts their season March 29th. And then we also have the Orlando Pirates, who will be starting off their season soon. And so we're growing as a city. So no 2 days look alike. I don't think I could even write down what a typical day. But what is important is that being the best District 5 in the city of Orlando is what my everyday looks like, even on some of the hardest days. If I could fix one community problem, what would it be? That's a tough one. So for me, I wish District 5 could be more unified. We are all one district. But what has happened is a lot of our communities seem spread apart. So they build smaller communities within the community. And I wish that, like, within those communities, we could just be one, right? So like and I use that in the sense of neighborhood associations. So District 5 has roughly about 28 neighborhood associations. And in some communities, we have multiple associations. It's like, why do we have multiple associations and not one big association? And some of that is for different reasons. So, for example, in downtown, we've got different high-rises. But I wish they would all come together and make one conglomerate that one person represents the entire. It's like, that's my, like, biggest, wildest dream of what I can do better. Because what happens is when we're cohesive, everybody has a problem, no matter how big or how small, whether it's pothole, flooding, youth need somewhere to hang out and play, after school programs. Every community has a problem, no matter if it's an affluent community or it's a low-income community. And so I think waking up to realize there's one goal that we all strive for, and that's a better quality of life. And so how do we work together to create that space? How do we share our resources? How do we come together more frequently and stop dividing, which is what you'll see in our children, right? The kids are divided because, oh, I live on this side of, I live on this side of Paramore, that side of Paramore. It's like, how do we, like, wait, we all go to the same school, like from birth until you graduate high school. Everybody's going to the same school unless your parents choose to put you in other places. Like, that's my one big dream. And I'm like, one day I'll figure it out, but I take baby steps. So what I have started doing since I've been elected is I have quarterly meetings with my neighborhood association presidents. So all of my presidents from downtown, all the way to Metro West, I invite them and I tell them, hey, come, let's talk about the good, the bad. Let me give you updates on the developments, the programs we've changed, and where we're going. So, you know, that's my lofty dream of, you know, what one problem we have that we could fix. Now, what's one realistic step? I've actually started doing that, and that's highlighting the ways that you can communicate with city government. So, for example, if you're driving right now and there's a pothole, well, there's a way to report the pothole. I had an incident recently, and this is a get to know. I had an incident recently where a resident reached out upset and they fell into a pothole. And the way our city policies are set, if the city doesn't know, then we have no liability. So if no one ever, so if you drove past that pothole 1,000 times and no one ever reported it, if something happens to your car, it's not our responsibility because we didn't know, right? So the one realistic step that I'm taking is educating the community on if you see something, you say something, so that we can take action as a government to be able to fix it. So I've started creating, with the help of my staff and the team, creating graphics for everything you could think of. If a street sign is down, report it. If you see a pothole, report it. And so getting, like, that's a realistic step that I'm taking, is helping the community to truly report things that they see. What do you think the community needs to improve on the most? I mean, I think I've said it. It's communication. I think we're all in this fight together, no matter what anyone thinks. You know, some people say, well, you're not from here, how do you understand? Well, I live here, right? I live in a Paramore community. And trust me, everything I see and I feel, it's like, how do I fix it? But sometimes it takes support. It takes the reporting everything and us truly getting to a space where every single thing that we see wrong, we bring forth and work on solutions together. What is something small that makes my day better? Coffee. No, I'm joking, because if I don't drink coffee first thing in the morning, I usually have headaches by like noon, one-ish time. Little pointer. So it's always a reminder. If yesterday I had a headache, I know I should have drank my coffee in the morning. But no, for me, on my hardest and my toughest days, it's the messages that I get from residents and businesses and people in the community of just the simple thank yous. Like, it could be the smallest thing you could think of, but that's what makes me happy. And that's my sign from God, keep on going. The job isn't easy because there are thousands of people who think that things could be done differently from government. And It's residents, it's voters, it's visitors who say, well, we should be doing this differently, or y'all should be doing that differently. Well, give me those suggestions. Let's take them. So, you know, those are the things that make me happy. I think are when people like take me up on my offer and they'll send us suggestions and say, well, you should deal with this in a certain manner or that in a certain manner. So I think those are the things that make me happy. Solving solutions, solving problems. But I would say this, listeners out there, if you got a problem, come with a potential solution, because here's what happens in government. We make solutions based on the problem, on what we see would be the best way to solve a problem. And then we'll solve it. Hey, we solved your problem, and it may not be what you want. Like, who said I wanted to slow traffic down by putting these roundabouts? Well, you said you wanted us to slow traffic down. This is what studies say. And I'll use that as an example where, you know, you may have in some communities where people are having problems with speeding. So we put speed bumps in. Well, I didn't say I wanted that. Well, how do we slow traffic down? So I think that's the key component to how we change our community. I think not giving such a hard time to electeds and start doing more. Some of it is appreciation. Sometimes it's, I appreciate you. And it's okay to use the but. I appreciate you, but can you work on? It's okay, because for the majority of us, and I'll just speak for myself, because I might be taking it too far to talk about other people. But for Sharon Rose, Commissioner District 5, it brings me pleasure to improve the quality of life. Like, I get up every single day. Sometimes I don't sleep at night thinking about, like, how do I make things different? And yes, I do wake up at 3 o'clock and like, oh yes, I forgot to send this email, or sometimes. And so, oh, here's another little tidbit and learn a little bit about Commissioner. I like to take naps. And so taking naps, like, will be my refresher. Like, I may have something to do and I may have like a 1 hour gap between one event versus the other. And I'm telling staff, okay, give me an hour. Just give me an hour. And then I'm back at it again. But like, I wake up every day on, how do I improve the quality of life? If I was in that situation, no matter what the situation, how would I want? How do I bring resolution? Sometimes there are some tough situations that happen in our community, and it's, you know, finding the middle ground and educating. A lot of the job that I do is educating the community and expressing how something could be better, encouraging the community, like, this is the level of government that your concern deals with, so that's who you should talk to. And as long as I get up and I'm helping people to point them in the right direction, then I'm doing my part, at least from my perspective. Which comes to, you know, a really important question. Like, how do you decide what issues to prioritize as a commissioner? And I'd say this. So I live in five main key components of a community. And that's housing, safety, education, employment, and health. And when you live in those five, every issue that I get, I put into those categories and I work towards them. I understand and I accept that sometimes things go into a category and they may take longer. So it's accepting as I get concerns, how do I triage and say what may take a longer, but what can we do in the short? So for example, and I'll give this, I had a resident reach out with a certain part of the community where they're having dumping issues. So they sent in pictures, they sent in a location. My responsibility is instantly send it to solid waste and say, hey, solid waste, pick up the trash. But then what was the long term is, in coming up with a solution, is to have code enforcement put it in their regular cycle to visit. Then when they visit, if there's continual dumping, then the long-term solution would be working with our transportation department and putting up a sign that says no dumping, which people should follow the sign that's there. But then it allows us to, the ones who are making the bad decisions to dump furniture and dump debris on our in our communities to stop doing it because they will be cited accordingly. So it's a weird space. I think everything takes priority. So as I get things in, I address them accordingly, but I realize that some things may take a little longer because sometimes some things require multiple departments. For example, when I wanted them, when I was talking about NBA All-Star, I mean, I know I had to get with the Orlando Magic. I know I had to get with, you know, is there an appetite with in the city? You know, are we there yet? And that's what's key and critical. When people have these bright ideas of things they want to see and things they want to do, is it the right time? And timing is always important because every decision you make has a financial commitment to them. In this case, we were able to put funding aside for both the bid for the 2028 Olympics as well as the NBA All-Star. We were able to combine it together and go put request funds, the Greater Orlando Sports Commission request funds from the Orange County Tax Development, Tourism Development Tax to say, hey, we want to bring this because it's going to generate this big revenue. But everything has timing because you have to lay out what's needed, what do we have to do, how do we get it here? And so it's a timing perspective. But it's putting it down, addressing every single thing, and then understanding the timing on some of them. Some things, like I said, if there's some trash on the side of the road, probably should get picked up a little bit faster than just sitting on it and waiting to say, okay, when is the next trash day over there? And I think some of it is not just me. It's also the other departments here at the city of Orlando that kind of make the final determination on how something gets resolved and the timing of it. What do I like to do when I'm not working? There's this thing called you take a rod and you put a shrimp on a hook and then you cast it. I like to fish. I've started this weird journey. So for those who don't know, Florida has 67 counties. So I've made a commitment that I want to start visiting counties and different cities across the state. So if I could get some days I can get a 2-day break where it's not a busy, I'm still working, but I'm working remotely. You know, back in the 2020 era when people who were on, you know, out on the islands doing their Teams calls, I'm traveling. So that's the piece of when I'm not working, what am I doing? I'm exploring other cities. And it's really because Florida, as well as the rest of this country, have some really great things to offer. And it's looking at how can we change some things or what are we missing here that we could do differently? Looking back a couple of years, actually, I think it was back in 2019, I went to Long Beach, and at Long Beach in 2019, they have hand sanitizing stations around the beach. So, because there's always all kinds of animals that come up on the shoreline, so they have hand sanitizing stations. So I'm taking pictures, and I'm telling, so I was working for the CRA at the time in 2019, the Community Redevelopment Agency, the city of Orlando. And I email my boss, and I tell my boss, hey, can we get some hand sanitizing stations downtown in different areas? And he's like, yeah, I don't know that that's possible. Well, guess what hit the next year? COVID. And guess what we ended up with? Hand sanitizing stations downtown, right? So full circle. So that's what I do. It's weird. That's what I do in my spare time. I go enjoy, eat some good food. Now I love eating. My top three are oysters, Brussels sprouts, and steak. But I love eating. So I'll go somewhere and I'll check out new things. But it's, you know, what are we missing? Sometimes it's even thinking about the restaurants that I may go visit in other areas and how can we get this downtown or how can we get this in District 5? If I could give my younger self one piece of advice, what would it be? Don't look back. And so for me, and it's a weird space, everything happens in the time and the place. I think maybe if something goes even good or bad, analyzing what you could have done differently. But don't look back, right? When you make a decision, as long as it didn't cost your life or cost you to lose a limb, right? But, you know, keep striving. I think everything I've been through, like, you know, could I have, like, wipe away the tragedies I've been through? Heck yeah. I think some of it makes you who you are and has made me who I am, right? Like, losing my husband to gun violence makes me advocate for a stronger community and, you know, taking guns out of people's hands. Losing my son makes me advocate for parents to get their kids the services that they need. Experiencing homelessness makes me want to provide all the services in the world for the homeless community and population. So I just tell my younger self, keep going and don't question God. I tell my listeners who are listening, be specific when you talk to your God. I've asked for things and they come in weird times and weird perspectives that I never would have thought of. Like, wait, how did that happen? And that wasn't what I asked for. I would say just keep being you. For me, I think I've always been different. I've probably always been the tallest person in the room. And sometimes I am now, like, I look over and I'm like, oh, hey, guys. Just continue to be you. Remain confident and continue your passionate ways. Never give up and keep striving for greatness. I want to really thank everyone for listening. I want to shout out to my intern for making me think a little bit harder today with these questions, Alexa. And for any young person that's listening, map out your life from a young age. Know that the course may not go that way, but stay focused and you got this. Thank you for listening to Straight From Rose podcast. Until next week.